Good morning, everyone. The Story County Board of County Commissioners special meeting will now come to order. If anybody has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you put them on silent now, it's not to disturb the meeting. And if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, moving along now to item number three. This is discussion and possible action. This is to approve today's agenda for May the 24th, 2016. Does staff have any changes to today's agenda? I've got a couple of changes.
We were just going to ask, Mr. Chairman, I have a conflicting meeting down in Reno. I need to leave at, shortly after 11:04, and we'd ask that wherever possible, with the exception of the appointment of our appraiser, that we move budgets up ahead of time for that purpose.
Okay, with that said, let's go ahead and move item number eight, the final budget hearing, up between items four and five, right after committee and staff reports. And since Mr. Powell is in the audience today, I'd like to move item number six up between items three and four. This is consideration of the possible approval of the appointment of Ann Delahaye as the appraiser to go ahead and appraise the value of the VNP freight depot in Virginia City. So, are there any other questions or concerns regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve the agenda for this date, May the 24th, 2016, with those two changes.
I'll move to approve the agenda for May 24th, 2016, with the two changes, moving items 6 and 8.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number 6. This is discussion of possible action, consideration and possible approval of the appointment of Ann Delahaye as the appraiser to appraise the value of the parcels of the real property associated with and on which is located the B&T Freight Depot in Virginia City.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis.
As the board is aware, we've been moving ahead for some time now regarding a possible purchase of the V&T Freight Depot. We have two old appraisals that were done on that property back in 2010. It's now 2016, so one of the requirements for making an offer to purchase property on behalf of the county is that there be an appraiser appointed by the Board of County Commissioners to make an appraisal of the property. And what we are proposing is to have Ann Delahaye appointed as that appraiser because of the fact that she's familiar with Virginia City, has done some appraisals here recently, including the Connell property, the Eaton property, and the courthouse parking lot. And she was here approximately, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, and provided some of her background to the board at that time when we reappointed her to appraise the parking lot for the courthouse.
Can I interrupt you for one moment, Mr. Loomis? Mr. Pierce, are your earphones working okay? Can you hear with us?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah. We can try another set.
Oh, maybe that's...
Does that work?
Is that better? How about now? Can you...
Test.
Can you hear that okay?
No.
No?
Well, there's no change. I can...
Why don't we try another set? Don't be embarrassed. It's okay.
It's all right. No problem.
How about now? Any difference? No?
There's
right. Well, I'll keep talking to see if anything comes through.
Okay, there might be sort of
there. Is the volume up over there? It is? Okay, we'll try to speak up for you. Okay? All right, go ahead, Mr. Loomis.
Basically, that's what I had to say. I mean, we're moving forward with the process of attempting to purchase the freight house depot from, or the freight depot from Mr. Pearson. He has a partner, Mr. Ward. There's some problems with the title, but we're still trying to move forward with the idea with the getting the property appraised at this point. And it may be that what we'll do is pursue a quiet title action at some point to see if we can clear the title to the property.
Yes. So in any event, we've used Ms. Delahaye on numerous occasions, as you've already pointed out, for property. She seems to be extremely competent, and she's become pretty much of an expert here on the Comstock on properties here, because I think she's appraised more properties in recent time than anyone else that I'm aware of. So, with that said, Mr. Powell, you're welcome to come to the podium if you have any questions to ask either the board or the deputy district attorney.
Mr. Powell, do you want to come up?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to the public input beforehand. Now I'm told it's at the end. And I don't want to be unloading impertinent stuff on you guys, but Mr. Ward and I have pretty much agreed. We're going on the market with this thing. We have been discussing for almost 3 years now, and nothing in writing, and it was pointed out that we have to have a pre-appraisal agreement. And again, we're hung up over the title. What's wrong with a quiet title? I don't know. We've got old men scrambling after stacks of paper when we could do a perfect quiet title as we did before on the area south. I was also going to bring up my disappointment over the county's not delivering on what was agreed on that property south. Mr. McBride is pointing out that nothing can be done. Well, I am $80,000 short on that deal, and I am liable to my partner for half of that. He won't take me to court, of course. But dealing with Story County, question mark. So we are, Mr. Ward and I have agreed we're going on the open market with a very carefully targeted campaign, and we're going to start at $1 million. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's most of what I wanted to say. What's wrong with a quiet title? I don't know. But if that's what's been hanging us up, these scraps of paper, the quick claims, that's an absurdity. Or that we require a pre-appraisal document. I've had nothing in writing at all. Nothing to show my paralegal, nothing to show my partner. It's all been talk. I finally bought a voice recorder, so I can at least get the talk stage. Where is it? Here it is. Okay. I think I've used up my 3 minutes, so back to you guys.
Okay.
And I'll see if I can get this far out.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Powell. Would you like to elaborate on the quiet title issue?
Well, I'd say for the last year and a half or so, we've been trying to connect with Mr. Ward. He's represented at one time or another that he had the quiet title deeds. They have never been recorded. In order to clear the title, we need to record those quiet title deeds. If we can't get them, then the alternative way to proceed is with a quiet title action like was done with the property that was transferred to the State Museum.
Exactly.
That was but you were represented by Mr. Buccaneri at that time, and you know we're trying to figure out how to go ahead with the quiet title action, which would be on your behalf rather than the county's behalf.
Yeah.
So this is just a step in that direction.
Okay. Well, I can use Virgil any time. I might have him up here. Is he still functional?
Yes.
Okay.
So, with that said, we can go ahead and take any other public comment regarding the appointment of Ann Delahaye to go ahead and do the appraisal. Does anybody wish to make any public comment on the appointment? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve this.
I move to approve the appointment of Ann Delahay as the appraiser to appraise the value of the parcels of real property associated with and on which is located the V&T Freight Depot in Virginia City.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second to appoint Ann Delahay to be the appraiser. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you. If there's anything else you'd like to talk about, at the very end of the meeting, we have open public comment, and you can talk about any subject that you'd like to. Okay?
Well, I'm pretty much on motor, but I have
to. Okay. Thank you for that. All right, we're going to move along now to item number four. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. Being that we're going to be doing the final budget hearing here, I'll just ask if there are any department heads that need to go ahead and speak to any issues, come on up, instead of going all the way down the whole list of every elected official and department head. So. Any officials, department heads have anything to report today? That's a first. Okay, thank you. We're going to go ahead and move now. We're going to skip number five, and we're going to move down to number eight. And this is discussion and possible action of the final budget hearings for fiscal year 2016-2017. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, members of the public. I have to again, once again, apologize for having this readjusted to this date in our the Nevada State Legislature gave us a window that we could start things early, which is a first for us. And my zealous to do that, I forgot to notice it, which is why we're sitting here today. So my apologies again. With this, we have the approved budget. What we are going to go through today is pretty much the adjustments from the tentative budget to the final budget, and we'll hopefully the commission will approve that, and we'll submit that to Department of Taxation. First one is with our general fund. Our general fund is going to be sitting at a total of $13,518,824, and there is no change in that. I will tell you that I have read some articles and listened to some radio transmissions by the Governor's Chief of Staff, Mike Wolden, and in a Nevada Economic Conference, he pretty much has said that the state of Nevada considers everything to be very static this year as far as revenue. So with that said, our budget remains intact as it did in the tentative, which for the most part is there's a decrease in ad valorem because of the 10-year rule that is being imposed. Even though our values are going up, I do not see a big increase in our ad valorem. The one thing that did go up is our charges for services of about $976,000, of which $846,000 is agreements with Tesla. We've got $100,000 in a BIA contract that we didn't have the prior year, and we believe that the import tonnage fees may go up because of the encouraged development out in the industrial park. With that, the clerk treasurer's budget remains the same at $432,373. There's no change there. District court remains the same at $125,945. Genetic marker testing remains the same as the tentative. Drug court remains the same as the tentative. The recorder's budget remains the same as the tentative. The assessor's budget remains the same as with the tentative. Technology fund remains the same as with the tentative. Buildings and grounds, their budget increased $29,000 over last year's projection. The reduction in public works projects of $30,000 was recorded due to a timing difference in the sidewalk repairs in the North County complex, which can be completed in the current year. So we decreased Mike Devin's budget by about $30,000. Pools and parks, we adjusted $4,500 out of there from the tentative for furniture and fixture purchases, which he anticipated for next year, which can be accomplished in this current cycle. Service department remains the same at tentative at $289,203. Roads department, roads revenue remained the same as the tentative budget, with increases projected in gas tax, SCRT, and import tonnage fees, which is the majority of his revenue. Expenditures were adjusted from the tentative budget by $47,528 to reflect salary and benefit adjustments and property and casualty insurance for county road vehicles. And what we have done here forever is the general has, for the property and casualty, they have paid the bill for this. We have split this out for the most part between the 474 Fire District, the Sheriff, and the Roads Department. With that, Mr. Chairman, you may want to convene as the Water and Sewer Board.
Okay. Mr. Gallagher, at this time we're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners, and we will convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The water system remains the same as the tentative, with about $630,000 in revenue and about $682,000 in expenses. The Virginia City Sewer remains the same as the tentative, with projected revenue of $368,800 in revenue and expenses of $357,396 in expenses.
We want to approve that. Okay. This time we'll go ahead and take public comment on this Virginia City Water and Sewer budget. Hearing none.
How does that deficit kind of, how's that void filled, Mr. Gallagher?
Sewer waters, Mr. Guffey?
Maybe on the water.
Water? They've got cash balances right now of about $1.3 million. So, what is projected there?
I mean, you're showing a deficit of $52,000.
Right. Right. And usually, what will happen is if that has, you know, their year to date this year, they're in very good shape. This is an estimate of what their operations will be. They have, for a fact, booked a negative, but they have got more than enough ending fund balance to cover that.
Is that also the case with the? I guess there's no change on the sewer.
Right.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. This time, looking for a motion to approve the Virginia City Water and Sewer budget.
I'll move to approve Virginia City Water and Sewer budget.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, moved and second to approve the budget for the Virginia City Water and Sewer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. At this time, we will go ahead and adjourn. This is Virginia City Water and Sewer Board, Story County Water and Sewer Board, and we will reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our next fund is the USDA fund, which our treatment plant and the extension that is going to go next year, phases, I'm pretty sure, 2 through 5. There is no change in that budget going forward. Community development, Departmental expenses were adjusted downward in the amount of $42,000 from the tentative budget. Salaries and overtime and related benefits were reduced by $5,717 as a further result of prior approval of staff overtime. Additionally, operational expenses were reduced by $1,000 for office supplies and $500 for economic development. Capital outlay was reduced by $35,000 and a transfer for a new vehicle for one of the billing inspectors. We're going to take that and put that into equipment acquisition. We have done this. We will be consistent with this throughout the general fund. We have an equipment acquisition, which is that is for that purpose, and I will go more when we get the equipment acquisition type. The district attorney, their budget remains unchanged. Justice Court remains unchanged from the tentative. Justice Court Fund remains the same from the tentative. Communications, there is no change from the tentative. IT Department, there is no change from the tentative. Comptroller, there is no change from the tentative. Emergency Management, there is no change from the tentative. Emergency Mitigation, there is no change from the tentative. Community Relations has a reduction in of $4,000, and that is for the Senior Citizen Center here in Virginia City. We reduced it by $4,000. We had thought that that April could was going to manage some things down in the Lockwood area. Some timing differences have evolved, and we will look at that coming up next year. Park Fund, there is no change in that budget. The following changes are made in the sheriff's budget in the amount of $777,532. Salaries and benefits were reduced by $475,444. Operational expenses were reduced by $20,000. Capital outlay was reduced by $315,000. And again, these are vehicles that were there for that we are going to transfer to the equipment acquisition. Public safety was reduced by $24,200, understanding that the reduction in proposed staff had decreased. Some of the operational expenses have also decreased. Interest expense increased. $1,112. The insurance premium for property casualty for his vehicles. Again, this was an allocation that the general fund or the administration department was paying for. That is $57,000, and community support was reduced by $1,000. You may want to go to the
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Okay.
I would suggest, I think we're going to have a recusal by one voting member on the budget. I would suggest you determine the sheriff's budget separately, call for public comment, and then call for a vote if there is a recusal.
Very good. We have, we can do that, I think, at the end, because we have all the other budgets that have to be approved.
Separate at the very end?
Yeah. Okay. Because we've already, we have not approved the beginning explanations of the budgets. We only approved Story County Water and Sewer.
Okay.
So we can go back at the end, combine everything else, and separate the budget, the sheriff's budget from that. Okay. Are you good with that, Madam DA?
I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, at this time, let's go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners, and we will convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, 474.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 474 Fire District Fund. Expenses were increased $71,000 from the tentative budget, which is the anticipated cost of property and casualty insurance, which was previously held by the general fund. The fire emergency fund, there is no change. And the mutual aid fund, there is no change from the tentative.
Okay. It's time to take any public comment regarding the 747 fire budget. Hearing none? At this time, I call for a motion to approve the budget for the 474 fire.
I'll move to approve the budget for Fire District 474.
I'll second that motion.
Moving to second to approve the budget for the 474 fire budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. This time we will go ahead and adjourn the Story County Fire Board, and we will reconvene the Story County Board of Commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I don't think you want to adjourn quite yet because I think you have two more remaining budgets. In there you have fire emergency and mutual aid that I believe are approved by the fire district, but I'm looking at Chief Hanks.
I think Comptroller Gallagher covered both of those, but we did have that MOU that we snuck in.
Okay.
The Nevada State Fire Assistance Mutual Aid Agreement. That's a 474 that required action. So I thought maybe it'd be easier to do both before you broke out from the 474 fire item.
Okay.
So then you have to reconvene as the 474 board, you can take both actions.
Okay, at this time we'll go ahead and we will just recess as the 474 fire board. We're going to do this in order.
I will just okay, that's fine.
I don't know.
You can take them out of order at okay. Your discretion.
How do you want to handle it, Mr. Gallagher?
This is a fire district item. To be approved by the fire board.
Well, it's not in the budget right now.
No, it's not a budget item.
It's not in the final budget right now. I'd rather have it separately.
Okay, so I'll have to reconvene it as a fire board.
Right. Right.
Okay, very good. We've approved the budget, so we'll go ahead and we'll continue on.
Okay.
As the Board of Commissioners.
Thank you, Mr.
Hold on. Chief Hanks, aren't the Fire Emergency and Mutual Aid Fire Protection District budgets as well?
Yes.
I believe you've only approved the 474. I don't know that you've approved fire emergency or mutual aid. Have we?
He did.
Okay.
I think he did. Okay. Yeah, I think we're good there.
Okay. Next is our equipment acquisition special revenue fund. Appropriations were increased to $105,000 as a result of transferring vehicles from the Community Development Department and the Sheriff Department's to this account. This is something that we're going to try and do a lot more of in the future because this is what the special revenue fund was made for, so hopefully we'll be able to do this in the future. Commissioner's budget remains the same. There is no change from the tentative. The administrative budget appropriations were decreased to $173,000 as a result of transferring the cost of property casualty insurance to the Sheriff Department, to the Road Special Revenue Fund, and to the 474 Fire District. Health and Human Services, their budget did not change from the tentative. Planning Department remains the same. There is no change. Indigent Medical, there is no change in their budget from the tentative. Indigent Accident, there is no change in their budget from the tentative. Capital Projects, remains the same as the tentative budget. Infrastructure remains the same as the tentative budget. Stabilization remains the same as the tentative budget. The TRI payback remains the same as the tentative budget. The Virginia City Railroad Project remains the same as the tentative budget. Federal grants remained the same as the tentative budget, and the Virginia City Tourism Commission remains the same as the tentative budget, and there is a reduction of $38,841 in our contingency account, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Okay, so we should probably reiterate that the reduction in the administrative budget and the amount of 173 is kind of a bookkeeping clarification of moving those insurances into the different departments where they're actually being utilized, roads, fires, and sheriff. So I think it gives a cleaner budget.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There's also it's the first step in what we've been kind of looking at for some time, which is cost allocations. A lot of governments do it. We're going to do it on a very conservative basis. Then that's where those expenses in the general fund that are applicable to some of the very special revenue funds may be adjusted from time to time. This is just a first step in that. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will tell you that we are at a deficit of $889,000 from a deficit of probably $1.7 million. And the reasons are this. Capital outlay has increased $122,000, of which a lot of it is the BIA expenses that are attributed to the BIA contract for which we're getting money for, but we have to segregate that, and a lot of them are some expenses with personnel expenses that are related throughout the budget. We have services and supplies that have increased about $286,000 from the prior budget, of which there's an historical grant in buildings and grounds, about $28,000. Community development, personal services for building maintenance, we're going to maintain that building this year of $20,000. And we have another one, which is our district attorney for professional services for $291,000. The tri-payback increased $476,000. In anticipation of payment of our public-private partner for all of the, obviously, things are moving in the industrial park, we have an agreement with them that whatever the net is off of our revenues versus our expenses, we owe them 35% of that. This is to make sure that we don't get behind. And so it affects not only it affects everyone that is receiving revenue from any source that's coming out of the industrial park. And our contingency is at $371,000. So all total, those four items total about $943,000, and we're sitting at about $889,000. Now, I will say this. We have been in the negative before. We were in the negative last year. We budgeted that the year before is because we put $3.5 million into cap projects. But we understand that we will only spend for those items for which we need, and we have been very consistent about that. And we've been, every department head here understands that is the process. So even though we have to anticipate these things, but going down the road as we have all of our quarterly actual to budget meetings, we have been very frugal in how we spend things. And we will not spend anything that is out of the box or above the board. Certainly there are those items that come up during the year which may need board approval, but for the most part, this is as good as we can get it right now. I don't anticipate this being the bottom line as of June 30th, 2017. I anticipate this being in a positive unless there is some sort of catastrophe. And with that, Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn that over to you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment when you're ready.
Go ahead, Mr. Ensler.
I want to make sure this board knows what it's purchasing and equipment acquisition. I was told to you particularly during a meeting that two of the vehicles that are under equipment acquisition for the Sheriff's Office are true four-wheel drive and be capable of being patrolling in the Highlands and places like that. They're the Ford Interceptors. I had asked some follow-up questions during that meeting on whether those true are four-wheel drive or whether they're all-wheel drive. It was confirmed to me that they were not all-wheel drive under no circumstance, that they were transfer case-based four-wheel drive. So I went down to Jones West Ford, talked to the fleet manager, Mr. Fletcher, down there about those vehicles, including the current model as well as prior models and 2016 models. And they are all-wheel drive with the Highway Patrol version, the Interceptor with, you know, the police setup. So I had also asked about the standard regular type of Ford equivalent vehicle, and he had described that it is an all-wheel drive, but it has a select-a-track type of braking and kind of a computerized brake control type of stuff. But that it is not a transfer case, it is not a four-wheel drive, and it's not meant for off-road. I had actually crawled underneath one of these vehicles just to absolutely get a validation of what the drivetrain is. I'm quite familiar with different sorts of vehicles and how they're structured, and it is a hydraulic-driven type of a all-wheel drive system. So all my point is I want to make sure that the information is clear on what this board is purchasing on those two vehicles and that there is not misinformation. Thank you.
Okay, so it's not like some vehicles you can actually engage it, you can lock it in.
No.
Four-wheel drive. So it's just, it's all-wheel drive.
It's all-wheel drive.
Okay. Okay. All right. So as the comptroller, Mr. Gallagher, has Gillagher pointed out everybody's budget in here. We can take public comment on any of the budgets that have been proposed to this point. Sheriff.
Since the vehicles that I've requested it become such an issue, and I don't doubt what Austin has said. However, I just look at the state website, look at what the bids are, look at what the alternative availability is. It said that a four-wheel drive unit is an option. I called Carson dealer in Ford, or the Ford dealer in Carson City, who assured me that, yes, it was a four-wheel drive. So that's what I went by. I didn't go down, crawl around, anything else. And person dealer people haven't been arrested lately. So.
Okay. Well, if you feel that's necessary to have four-wheel drive, if it's an option, I guess they could add that option to it.
But they said it was available.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I might add, not to extend any argument on this, I think the record's clear that they more than likely are four-wheel drives based on Austin's assessment. But we also validated through our own shop service program with Trent. And Trent also validated that it does not come in four-wheel drive.
Okay. All right. So, back to the budget. Any public comment regarding budget? Ms. Bard, come on down.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. First of all, Hugh, process improves exponentially every year. This was very smooth. The materials are very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can you speak up, please?
I said the materials were very good, that the process improves every year exponentially, and that the materials that were attached for this particular review were excellent. So I thank you for that. Just a couple of quick questions. Of the 13% increase of expenses this year over last year, what percent of that is due to Tesla support or TRI growth impact to the county?
Well, if you're looking at the amount from the general services agreement, is that what you're asking?
Total.
I mean, we're increasing. Other than that, is there? I mean, I guess maybe permits?
Yeah, I would tell you I don't know the answer as far as purely the way you phrased the question is what have our expenses gone up. I think, I'm not going to get argumentative today, but a fair question would be what are our revenues from Tesla versus our expenses on Tesla, through both the government services agreement and also the ordinance partially abating building plan review and permit fees. And so far, working with both Chief Hames and also our community development director, Dean Haymore, both are saying that while occasionally we hit the upper edges of the revenue matching the cost, overall it is neutral. But to purely track Tesla costs, the best I could tell you is go back and look at the government services agreement plus the amount of revenues we projected under the partial abatements of those permit and plan review fees, and those should be our costs at most.
Okay, that then the way you phrased the question should have been the way I phrased it. Is the money we're getting from Tesla through the agreement keeping us on a par with what the expenses are? Because potentially and very soon, our expenses may exceed what the contractual agreement with Tesla is, and that will be very detrimental to us because we have nowhere to recoup that if, as Hugh says, our ad valorem is staying flat to down over time. That's going to hit us sooner rather than later. So, and in particular, since Lance, Commissioner Dimon has been out saying much of what we already know and listening to the news, it says the economy is in the next 3, 4, 5 years, it's probably going to stay flat and revenues are going to, you know, not stagnate, but basically stay flat. So my follow-on question to that would be, have we done, and I think I ask this every year, have we done our own revenue projections and expense cost projections over the next 3, 4 years in terms of having a model to tell us if we're going to start entering some of these turbulent waters and have a surprise out there? Because I don't see that our expenses are going to start coming down. They're going to continue to go up. My concern is if our revenues for Tesla, we're getting no sales, we're getting no property, and they're eating, consuming, if they're consuming.
Well, what are you basing your assumption that our expenses due to Tesla will go up?
Because they will continue to eat and eat and eat. We've given them so much. They're getting used to us responding in 30 seconds or less. Can we continue to respond in that fashion to them? And can we continue to respond in that? I mean, Dean, God love him, lives out there. His entire group lives out there. We've been very good as a county in supporting TRI and Tesla in particular. Right. That level of service has set an expectation that we continue to perform at that level. My question is, do we have the revenues to do that? If not, we need to start throttling that back a bit.
So I think the negotiation. Go ahead.
I think, yeah, let me stop you only so I can at least answer that part, because yeah. I think there were a couple other questions in there. The answer is based on what we know today, and based on what we know today, adjusted for the next 3, 4, 5, actually 9 years, as I recall, the answer is yes, because we put inflationary clauses in there for Sheriff Antonoro's deputies, of which both now are fully funded under the Tesla agreement, which were a component in his funding, and also for Chief Hames' staffing of a 2-person paramedic and fire crew out of Station 75. So the answer, I don't mean to dodge the answer if I'm missing it, but the answer is yes, as we know it today. Now, should that pace and volume kick up even higher, there are provisions in, it's been a while since I visited this document, there are at least provisions in the government service agreement, and I believe provisions in the ordinance as well, that allow us to reopen and renegotiate with Tesla. So it's one of those, think of it, if you will, as a governor. We have so much staff to put toward Tesla. At the point in time that the demand outstrips what percentage of that staff is, particularly probably in the building department and in the fire inspections, fire marshal side, we can certainly reopen or we can put on the brake and say, that's top level of service.
Okay, that was my question slash concern, is, again, you've established a superb level of service for them because of the agreement. Are other organizations and TRI also going to require that? Is Tesla going to continue to require that exceeds what that agreement is? That's all.
Yeah, and I want to add, certain things were not abated that could have been. We could have abated in whole or in part
business licenses, and there are a bunch of them out there. If you look at every business license one, I mean, the ones that stand out are all the ones from Japan that we can't seem to pronounce very well. But the other ones, we're getting, I don't know, Stacy, probably 10 to 15, sometimes on average, every two-week cycle of Tesla licenses, and they have been very stringent in their requirements about making sure everybody on that site has a license. And those are healthy annual licenses that are not abated at all. And I also want to just remind everybody, too, you haven't said anything wrong that I disagree with. You're absolutely right. But we are at least now approaching 2 years in to the major abatement cycle, which are real and personal property taxes. Not the sales taxes aren't. But if you go back to the GOED study, we're 20% of our way into this already, at least, if not closer to 33. I'd have to go back and look. But I believe we're now entering our third year this July of full abatements on real and personal property. Look at this in many ways, as we've talked about before, as an investment that will ultimately reap great rewards in the year 2024, I think.
Okay, I'm just asking the question, between now and then, there will be rocky road. There will be, you know, churning waters, and we need to have at least an eye on when that may happen and how we're going to react to it. Because, again, I mean, the county is being superb, but that costs money. And if, you know, we don't have the revenue coming in, or, again, the services exceed the agreement, we've got to either know how to say no or know how to know when it's going to happen to start renegotiating or at least, you know, preparing them to kick in more bucks. So that's
agreed.
Just my question here.
Agreed on all accounts there. And, okay. And, I mean, to further to your point, not just relative to Tesla, but for all projects going on at Tri, but with an emphasis on the bigger ones, the switches and the Teslas, switch being non-abated in terms of plan review and permitting, at least so far. I would tell you, our economic development team, which is Chief Haynes, Fire Marshal Klingler, Dean Haymore, Austin, and myself, and occasionally Commissioner Gilman will join us as well. We meet every Friday morning at 7:30 in the morning to talk about project management out at the park, Tesla included, but all projects, to make sure that we know exactly where we stand.
Okay. And my last comment is, you know, Hugh did mention that we've had overages. We've had a deficit before in prior years for investment purposes, et cetera. I get that. But I'm looking at a trend line, an expense trend line that's doing this, and a revenue trend line at best that's flat. And I'm just asking that question of, you know, have we modeled that, and how long can we continue dipping in general fund to be covering this stuff?
Well,
that's all.
And I can take, Lance uses a phrase that he's taught me, no pride of authorship. I can take zero pride of authorship other than consultative. You're looking at about three-quarter of the best budget team I've ever seen this county have, with the other quarter sitting out there next to Chief Haynes and Jennifer McCain. I would tell you again, the philosophy so far has been, we are ultra-conservative in the projections of our revenues all the time. So you may see flat line when we have reason to believe there could be increases. Reasons that are discussed every Friday at 7:30 in the morning about what Lance Gilman has flying across his desk, you know, that may ultimately result in projects. But we're very conservative when it comes to revenues, and we try to be very, 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 I always want to avoid the word liberal because we don't pad, but we try to be as all-inclusive and all-seeing as we can be on the expenses, knowing, again, as Mr. Gallagher has so well stated, just because it's in the budget doesn't mean you aren't going to get it. I think Dave Ballard and James Dean are classic examples. When they want something, it's a very expensive ticket item usually, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. They can't just go spend it because it's in the budget. They have to go through a two-step process that has Hugh's approval, then my approval, and to make sure we have the revenues to match that expense.
Okay. My questions are simply due diligence questions, but like I said, right. Trend lines are just causing me concern, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions regarding today's budget, final budget hearing? I was going to suggest that we ask Commissioner Gilman to recuse himself on two points, maybe the TRI payback and on the sheriff's budget, and he could vote on everything else. What would be your recommendation?
Can I have 5 minutes?
Five?
Yeah, four?
Certainly four.
Lance? Okay.
So why don't we just go ahead and recess for 5 minutes, okay?